And it is 7 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 10 a.m. in the East Coast, and it is 5 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is Sunday, October 11, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to talk about, you know, the question of the day. What is going on with the Israeli situation on the ground? Are we going to have a rioting intifada, they call again, or it's just some smoke that people are getting, you know, nervous about the situation? And we need to ask the real question, because there are real issues on the ground. And let's start, you know, calm and, you know, considered and hopeful, because a solution must be found. Now, let's say that the world is going crazy right now all around. There is some revolution in Syria, and there is some bombing of Kurds in Turkey. There are, you know, immigrants all over Europe that ran away from Libya, Syria, and elsewhere, and added, you know, to the world capitals in Europe, which is a situation that is concerned everybody. But all of a sudden, we start having some stabbing situation in Jerusalem, in some territories over the Green Line, you know, disputed territories. And the question is, what is charging all of it? And there were some member of the Israeli parliament that the Arab Israeli were supposed to represent the Israeli Arabs, you know, the people that live on the ground. They have the IDs, the Israeli ID, and they get social security, and they work here, and they have, you know, businesses, and they build houses. They were supposed to have a real representation in the Israeli parliament. But sure enough, those parliament members decided that they don't really represent the Arab Israeli, they represent the Palestinian. For some reason, they took the cause upon them. And, you know, Palestinians are the people of the land called Palestine then. They didn't really have a state or a nation, and it's not their fault, but there wasn't. They're, you know, they're people just that grew up under the Turkish you know, empire, and then the British took over with the real mandate of a global mandate, and then there was a mandate to give it to make a Jewish, you know, house, because the Jews are the people of the land by the Bible, by entity. So we had some kind of a disputed territory, which are the one that says, listen, we were here first, but, you know, it doesn't matter that you were here. You were occupying it while the Jews were out. Now, it belongs to the Jewish people. They didn't sell it out. They were kicked out by force, and now bringing it back to the land, there is a real question, you know. It doesn't matter if it belongs or not. What are we going to do about all of this? Because the dispute cannot go on forever. But we have a reason to be concerned. Like, you know, there was a call today, I understood, from the Secretary of State, or, you know, in the last few days, about the Israeli situation. And I'm saying, from the ground up, this is a sporadic ritual of, you know, dispute. But if you tell me that they're going to start rioting, the Arab Israelis are smart. They get along with a lot of Israelis, and there is no reason to think that it's going to take place. That's my feeling. But the one problem is, what they really want from the Jews? You know, what's this Jews phobia that they all have in regard to the holy ground? Why anybody would think that Jews have no right to exist, especially when they have holy ground been taken away from them and been built, you know, mosque on this fight of everybody. Now, let's say it again. And calmness, and reason, and love, and understanding of the world we live in, and with the idea that we are going to find a real solution at the end of the day. Because from here, there is no back. We are here all together, and that's the test, ultimate test of God, to see how his children are behaving. Now we are, it's Sunday. For many people, it's a very, you know, of a day to go to pray. For the Jewish people, you know, we had Sabbath yesterday. But today, it's a day to reflect, maybe. And once you're reflecting of what's actually happening when people decide about Jerusalem, we need to remember that Jerusalem is a holy city, that Israel is holy ground, and whoever lives here is supposed to be a part of this, you know, message to the world of understanding. If we don't solve our misunderstanding here, how the world is going to react, or how it's going to end up some other place in the world. This is a sample. We have a Bible too old for it to show us the way, and we need to understand. Now, you know, our brothers from the Muslim faith have to make a decision about their democratic livelihood. We have a democracy. It means that there is a freedom, in essence, liberty to be. And you need to be and let be. That's all. And nothing we can do about it. You know, we don't want to change anybody. We just have to be. All right? So let's listen to some notes of music that I collected, maybe to put some flavor in this spicy world we all live in. Subliminal is a guy that really, you know, he knows his music. Or Light, that's what he was calling about, you know. And, you know, music, Israeli music is really evolving, and they actually try to sing a little in English, and it sounds good, not bad. I heard maybe next week I'll get something for you in that one. Anyway, so let's talk. You know, Israeli, what Israeli is doing, they are evolving with technology. And we have the American Middle East Institute annual conference on health and technology forum that will take place on October 10, 2015 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The event is noted for its ability to attract high-level members of Middle East ministries, embassy, and American, and the Middle East and North African decision-makers representing leading global companies. And each year, the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania-based American Middle East Institute convenes the high-level forum for businesses, leaders interested in pursuing the economic opportunity in the Middle East. Now, let's focus. We have people on the ground in Israel. There are Israeli that I don't know what their attention is, but the youngster needs to get the opportunity. And I say we need to give them some direction. The fact that they are in the street, it means that we need to give them some inspiration. Technology, you know, education is something that inspires work, businesses. And, you know, the latest decision of the Israeli government to allow 20,000, now listen carefully, 20,000 Chinese workers to come to Israel to work on some developing of the train or subway or the port or whatever it is, on the sound of 30,000 shekel each, which is like a month. It's like $8,000 a month or something like that. They are bringing 20,000, which will probably influence the pressure on the economic side of the workers, the Arab workers in Israel, because they are the hard labor working. You know, they like to build, and you know, I'm so sad because in America, construction is something that people are proud of, and they are from all kinds, but the Israelis, for some reason, they didn't have time. I don't know. They got because it's probably mainly Arab-Israeli trade. They just develop, but they don't really go to work. There are some of them, and I love construction, and I love all side of construction, which is beautiful and beautiful. People have to understand that once you have the vision, you create something and you build it, you're satisfied because you can actually see that you progress, your life is progressing. So the Arab Israeli are doing, you know, hard work here. And for them to listen to those 20,000 Chinese coming and taking their work, they probably are really worried. And nobody is mentioning it in the Israeli economic sector, or they don't pay not attention, or they think that it's nothing to do with the rioting. I say yes, because every time you put pressure on the economy, people get upset, and that's what happened. They evolve in some way, and they're looking for excuse. Now the excuse was Elakta. Now the Prime Minister Netanyahu say that it's a lie. Of course it's a lie, because he didn't do anything to jeopardize the safety of any old places, because it's against his ruling. And by the way, happy birthday, Prime Minister Netanyahu. May your life will be good. May your family be well. And may you have a really, really smooth year ahead. Now, having said that, on the blessing, he allowed 20,000 permissions to get in the way of the Arab-Israeli. I would object to it vividly for many reasons, but I would give you that, you know, that they're taking away work from people. Now, let's do something else. Let's tell them that we are going to start thinking about them as a part of this nation, as holy nation, which we are all in. And this is a messenger's, you know, we are the messenger of the world. You know, that's why I came back to Israel, living here, trying to do my thing to make this place better, lovable, nicer, whatever I can to be a service, you know, in this godly place. Now, think about what we can do, because they have so much talent. They have so much respect and knowledge about, you know, the industry, the tourism, international affair, their businesses, everything, you know, like garment doing. You know, I know about so many trades that Arabs are specialized in, and if we are factoring everything together, we can work well. And I know that there are not many people who wants to give them a chance, you know, to be. They want them to riot. They want to send them to the street. They're using the Palestinian issue, which, you know, one day they're here, one day they're there. And they influence the Arab Israeli, which is a shame, because they come a long way. Don't make this chance, you know, to become a better place, to make this holy ground holy. Now, but this is only for all of us, all right? And you have to stop with the Jewish phobia, this anti-Israeli phobia. That doesn't suit anything, because Israel is here to stay. She holds the title word with the Bible to show for it. And, you know, there is a billion Christian. Every time they try to threaten Israel, I say, you know, you guys are a lot. The Muslims are a lot, but there are a lot of Christians, which are believers. And no believers in the Bible can, you know, you know, despite of whatever they feel or think, they can go against the real issue that, you know, this is a place where the light should shine to the world. It's like the focal places. And it doesn't matter if we need to make it all one shrine, not just the shrine for everybody. Now, the fact that you guys say, you know, territory disputed, we are one. We need to merge ourselves in one place where we can be feeling, you know, the glory of God. Now, you guys have a shrine. Nobody wants to do anything with it, but you have holding hostage of 44, how do you call it? Let's say it's a 10,000 acres in let me not try this because I'm sorry. I'm trying to translate the cubical area of this area of Temple Mount, which probably I'm mistaken in saying it. But that area it's not the shrine. When you talk about the mosque, it's one mosque which is confined to the four walls of the mosque. It's not the ground. This holy ground belongs to everybody. It's international, right? So that's it. And don't talk like filthy feet or anything. It's fine. You know, you can respect and you can allow anybody in your place of worship. But don't think that you can take over ours. Okay? And the world is not to say that it's yours, even though that you think you said that. And we don't have a final negotiation on Jerusalem, which I think that this, considering the attitude and the way that people are behaving, it should be given to the holder of the title, the one that's supposed to be custodian, with, of course, agreement and understanding. But the Jewish people, I've been long, you know, been gone and came back after 2,000 years, not to hear this rubbish about, you know, walking into whatever. And whoever has this thing that they think that one is better than another. All right, let's think. Why would they think that the Hebrew faith, the Hebrews from the Bible, are not worthy of, it doesn't matter, God chose it, so who can complain? You know, it's not like we chose it. It was chosen and given to us. So, you know, live with it. What can you do? Let's get some music and we'll be back after that.
שמיים נקיים, זוהרים שבעה הרגיעים, ואנחנו ממריאים מגולן ועד יום סוף.
And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. This is Special Sunday with some Israeli music and Israeli spirit in this Holy Land. And we are talking from the Holy Lands and we're thinking, who understand what's going on in the middle of this while we're looking into a new speaker for, you know, to at the Congress. We have the new Speaker of the House. We need to find it, you know, who's going to be. And I listen to a congressman, which I respect a lot, and I think that he has what it takes. And his name is Congressman Peter King. Let's listen to him.
Now, this is treacherous, and this is an example of what Israel has to live with every day. And they want to live and they don't want to die. The fact is, you do have Palestinian terrorists, and that no matter how much Israel tries to reach out, no matter how much the international community tries to justify the Palestinians, the fact is, Israel lives under the gun, lives under the knife, and their people are always at risk. And that's what I think too many people outside of Israel, including people in the United States, don't realize is how dangerous it is to be an Israeli in Israel, and that the threat of terror is constant. Abu Mazen has too often tried to have it both ways. He tries to pose as a world statesman, but the reality is that too often he either looks the other way or even encourages Palestinian violence. Obviously, the moment that this occurred, these attacks began, Abu Mazen should have condemned them outright. Whether he ends up condemning it later on doesn't really matter. That should have been condemned. They should have been condemned immediately. And also, he has to watch what he says, because words do have consequences. And for him to say the Oslo Accord no longer applies, basically he's saying it's back to war. And he knows, whether he's saying it that way or not, he knows, he has to know, that's what people on the ground, Palestinians, are going to interpret it as.
So let's say a scenario, if they a terror attack happening here, like in Jerusalem, in Israel, what do you think that the policy of the United States was?
Well, first of all, the American people would demand total protection. They would demand retaliation, and every step would have to be taken to make sure it didn't happen again. And the fact is, if you're dealing with people who are violent, you have to take very strong methods to crack down. You have to do all that can possibly be done, and if that includes the use of force, then force has to be used. Yeah, all murder is terrible, but it's particularly heinous when it's done in front of children, when it's done in a way to have lasting trauma, lasting agony, lasting suffering, and it shows what evil hearts these people have. I would say Abu Mazen is not a real partner. It's really up to the Israelis to decide how much they want to trust him. That's my point. It's not for us to say. It's up to the Israelis. They have to do what they have to do to protect themselves against terrorism, and they have to decide how much they trust Abu Mazen and how much they want to deal with him.
What do you think about the deal with Iran?
The deal with Iran was terrible. It's terrible to Israel, it's terrible to the world, and it's terrible to the United States. We've weakened ourselves, we've strengthened Iran, and so as an American, I was totally opposed to it. I thought it was very important that Prime Minister Netanyahu came to the Congress to lay out the objections that Israel had, but quite frankly, while the immediate danger is to Israel, the ultimate danger is to the world, and that obviously includes the United States, because we are the great Satan in the eyes of Iran. So Israel and the United States should be standing together on this. Unfortunately, the agreement is now in place. But again, whatever Israel has to do to defend itself, they have to do.
You're talking about military action?
I would say that whatever Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Israeli government decide has to be done, that's what has to be done. If Israel decides to take action against Iran, I can assure you that the overwhelming majority of the American people would stand with Israel.
All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth, and that was Congressman Peter King, which is actually a runner-up for the seat of the Speaker of the House, which is an incredible place to be, especially surprisingly got vacant recently, and it's not an easy task. However, you need a real person, and I know that you have a lot of talks about the youngster candidate without mentioning the name, but you know, young is not always better. You know, you need to know what to do, and Congress is really a great institution which need to have a leader that can lead them. And my vote is with this guy, even though I love Congressman Wilson, but, you know, you need to, Congressman Wilson of South Carolina, which is a dear friend and a great mover and shaker. But I didn't see his name in the list. But, you know, you have him, you have Congressman King. They will be incredible. Anyway, let's talk about what we're going to do when there will be peace on the ground here. What we can expect. Because people say, you know, the end of the day, if it's coming, if you have the end of the day, what is going to be like? And everybody has an episode, you know, they're talking about the war of everything, the destruction. And we have a really wonderful, you know, story. It's going to be all good. Everything got to turn to be okay. All right. Let's get some music and we'll be back after that.
תודה רבה. השיר הבא הוא שיר אהבה לארץ ישראל ולאדמת ישראל. ואני מנצל הזדמנות ומברך בשמי ובשם חבריי את כל עם ישראל בחג שמח ומבורך.
Now it's still going. It's still keep it going. Keep it going. It's a song. All right, and that was, you know, my land. It's a music for dancing. Look, you know, people in Israel have a certain kind of folklore, and they dance to this kind of tunes, which is really sweet. Now let's talk about all the concerts that are going to take place in Israel sometime soon and what happened, because we had Bon Jovi, which is which he said, you know, they won't run away, because many people think that when there is one attack, you know, it's like something will happen in America and people stop going to America. It will be ridiculous, right? So in Israel, even though the Congressman Peter King thinks that it's dangerous, we still have our life, and we still, those sporadic situation are going to go away soon, because people are going to go back to work, because they need, there is a life. So we're going to have Kanye West, I think, that is going to follow Bon Jovi in concert. Or we have, you know, Seinfeld is coming to town, which is great, because Seinfeld is a guy that is a Jewish guy, and they had in the beginning where they had one show only for VIPs, which I got an invitation. I was very excited. True enough, they sold everything, so they become two shows. And true enough, they sold everything, and they become four shows. Now we have two for the general public and two for the VIPs, and that's great. Now we had One Republic that wasn't sorry for not stopping Israel, which is, you know, they'll probably come back, because in Israel you feel the crowd. It's amazing how many people. Now we have one, Matityahu, that insisted, you know, a Jewish fellow, which he has incredible music, and we have something to listen to from him.
It's been a lot of people are going to be asking me why I'm, you know, saying you're coming to Israel now. It's a dangerous time to come. And I think it's an important thing for Jews outside of Israel, American Jews like myself, to come to Israel, and no matter what's happening here, the ups and the downs, because it's all about being here, being a part of what's happening, interacting, and that's exactly what happened with me in Spain. The idea of boycott or staying apart and creating more borders and more lines is not the way to encourage peace, like you said, but to come together to create, to make art, which goes above. So thanks for having me here, and excited about performing. Maybe you can make it to the show.
You know, what is special about you is you forced all those pieces while trying to help Israel to apologize for their attempt. So not only you represent peace and hope and togetherness, but also courage.
All right, that was former President Shimon Peres, who spoke to Matityahu about his visiting Israel. And, you know, he's still very much active, and he meets with many people. And he's incredible, you know, he's doing so. And everybody that comes to sing in Israel is something, it's not that wild. You know, you come to a very big state-of-the-art airport in Tel Aviv, you get chaperoned directly to your hotel, which is, you know, regular hotel like Americans, you know, and European will be. You got traffic like all, it's a city, they have towers, and you have a lot of restaurants, you have fancy. The difference is that it's more cozy, because you can walk on the street and people will be on the bicycle. It's smaller street. You can feel incredible in the afternoon when you walk and, you know, people are there with the dogs, the children. It's really cozy. Just the, you have to make your prayer, of course, that everything is going to go okay. And I know many people from my friend from California, when they come in really a bad time, we took them to Jerusalem and said, okay, let's go to Jerusalem. We parked there. We walked to the old city. We say our prayer. We came before God and we give, you know, charity to, because we want, you know, to make dues on that moment. And you go back, hoping that everything will be okay, because everything can happen every time, everywhere, and it's not about here or there. You know, who thought about 9/11 that morning? Who could have even imagined that sick mind will create such a plot? You guys have to understand that it was so sudden and so out of the blue, especially when we had years of, you know, real understanding with the world while President Clinton was in task, and the change, you know, the presidency change, and all of a sudden President Bush has to deal with such a thing. So you guys don't know what will happen, so take your life, make it better, enjoy it, create a life for the children and give them some tools, real tools, like I want to give all the children of the world, the tool to succeed. And I know that there are children that don't want to study. They're stubborn people, I know a few, which think that they can know it all. But, you know, you never stop learning. And once you start learning, you know how much you don't know and how much wisdom God can give you. You never can understand the whole universe. So you go on to your life trying to make the best out of it. But you have to create some tools, you know, a box tool for you to fall down on it in case you change your avenue, you change life, in case you need to have a different road. And it's not always one country or another. And, you know, you see who can expect this flow of immigrants in Europe. Who could have thought about that? Nobody. And now their life will be different, but maybe those immigrants will have a better life. Maybe the United Nations finally can start achieving what it promised, to start helping the world become a better place. And we can create a life. So to say that, you know, you come to show for here and now, you don't know, because you can go to a really small, beautiful beaches, and suddenly there is a hurricane. Who can expect that tie, you know, hurricanes, or what was it in Thailand in Christmas a few years back? It was devastating, and it was on the best beaches in the world. It happened. So we don't know what will happen tomorrow, and the question is, it's not like you predict. Of course, there are places that, you know, nothing, that numb, they're sleeping. But life goes on, so just get your best, make a life, and go on, okay? Sometimes they put the uniform on you, and sometimes, you know, you make a role, but it doesn't mean that, you know, you're out of your own life. You have always your spirit to evolve, to pray, and to make it better. All right? It's Sunday, October 11th, and it's Orville Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. I want to listen to another song, and then we keep on going with the news.
זו הרוח אשר מהלכת סביב, זו הרוח ששמה הוא גיבתי. זו הרוח אשר מהלכת סביב, זו הרוח ששמה הוא גיבתי.
All right, it's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. It's Sunday. It's so good to be here. Thank you so much for joining in. You know, we have some news from, you know, Shabak. It's like the Secret Service of Israeli that says that Abu Mazen, the leader of the Palestinian, is acting against terror. All right, let's see the, what it is. Oh, but one concern he has, which I understand now, that you know, sometimes they play with fire and they don't like it when it's a blowout of proportion, is actually, he said to so many people that he is going to quit. And since he's an old guy and he did his share, the youngster and the liner, you know, they line up to exchange him. And for some reason, he's not keep on going. You know, he announced that he's going to retire on September. Then he went to the United Nations and changed the rules. Then they put the flag. Oh, my God, what that was a success. No, nothing. He didn't have that success. And people are writing. They need guys like Dahlan. You know, people are calling on Rajoub. And I'm saying, you don't want Jibril Rajoub to be the head of the Palestinian, because you're going to have more of the worst. Because if you want to create a, some kind of understanding where they start behaving, operating, and growing as people, as unit, and becoming a member of the free world, you need to give them a leader that help them go across. You know, I don't know about Rajoub. Maybe he has a plan. I know that his family is really nice. So it's, you know, some of them are really nice. But the question is, where would it take them? Which, on the other end, when you have Dahlan, which is a guy that's been around, been negotiating with people, been talking to other people, and has a little experience on the ground level, but also on the international level. And I know that he has a really good relationship with Condoleezza Rice, which will bring me to understand that since he was in understanding, he can cooperate and work together with the world. So you got to line up that, you know, and say, okay, it's time that we go to election. Because if there is anything you have to ask, why there is no election since 2005 in the Palestinian Authority? What kind of totalitarian regime you're trying to create? Terror is their act. We know that Hamas is maybe sometimes they're not, sometimes they're operating. I don't know what they decide. Maybe they need to get enlightened. You know, sometimes they need to go through the process. Every organization that was a freedom fighter, they become normal when they start acting up as normal. It depends on their will. Anyway, I want to talk about the food in Israel. If there is anybody who visited the ground, they can tell and testify that the fruit, the vegetables in Israel are incredible. Nothing you can tell us about it. You know, you cannot complain. We have the best produce ever. And the reason is that, you know, engineering of the seeds are not happening like on the mass scale or whatever. We can still flavor the real, the holy ground. They said, you know, in the holy ground there is like rivers under, you know, heaven and the wolves. And it's important to understand that the seeds, remember we talked last week about the vault in Norway that got opened with the seeds that represent all, encompass the food, the branding of the foods of the world consumption. In Israel, we have a different vault there, and it goes into institute called Vulcan, and they have it. And I know that they have the Asian seeds. They keep it fresh, and they freshen it, and they check it, and whatever. Whatever it is, come to visit, because the exquisite food and the cooking that you guys have here that come from all 70 nations that the Jewish people collected, you have experience from all over the globe. You can bring, you know, you come from a different culture, you will find it here with a twist. The food, the bread making, the pastry, the food and vegetables are unique. There is no such a thing. I'm telling you, I've been around a little, let's say a little, not much. Okay, so I cannot talk for everything, but I can tell you that that experience is worthwhile, and it's worthwhile even make a little competition. It's amazing. They do sometimes. They actually all embedded in this, but they created some great fine job places, and I put a place which I recommend. Because the guy that makes it is incredible, and it's Segev Express in Tel Aviv. You have, it's a place where you can find everything, and it's incredible. All right, so you guys come visit, go enjoy your food, and after, you know, one day you can also think about the beach, and you have the experience in Jerusalem, which is all the city, if everybody is going to start acting up like this is all the ground. We need to help people to come to themselves and enjoy. And with our brothers, the Muslims on the ground, with our brothers, the Christians, this can be a real, real place where God rules instead of mankind rule over each other, all right? And I'm not talking about occupation. Please don't start with that, because there is no such a thing as occupation of God's place, because nobody owns it. You got it? It's people who are believers can understand that, so I'm telling you. All the rest, please get a Bible and start, you know, learning your deal, where you come from. Or whatever you study from your parents, whatever you're born is good enough for us. As long as you remember, we are all men. There is a God, and it's not us. All right? So we're almost wrapping up. Tomorrow we're going to have some real hardcore news from the state and the position that she plays in the Middle East. And now with the start up the economy, world economy, which was dropped in the lap of the Chinese, which created some kind of wild machine, and then they wanted to run with the money, which is awful. So now we're going back to America. You know, mother heard that America that creates the understanding that the global economy, it's not a factor of, you know, oneness, it's a factor of all of us. And together, I'm sure that the stock market will rise soon, because they have a lot of good play, and they have a lot of good technology, and I know they are kicking. So it's no time before, you know, the new technology is going to push us to the next level. So bear with us. And this corporation that we have, everywhere can help us all. And I know that Europe is under pressure, but let's join in. Let's make this conference, you know, that comes around about technology, a better one in America, a better one, so we can all evolve from there, and we can bring the good of people and work hard and enjoy each other, because we'll enjoy each other if we're working, if we're busy, if we have a life. That's the only time we're going to have a really good world that we can say that we are proud to be a part of. All right? So by that, I want to salute you. I want to bless you, and I want to pray for you all that you'll be safe. You go back, you know, you go out safe, and you come back home safe, and you'll be wonderful all day long. And I hope that all the children of the world will have a safer, you know, safe grounds to be there, and somebody to take care of them, because we love them and they are the promise of the world. So, and we are the custodian of them. This is God's land or God's world, and we need to be a part of it. All right, guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow, which will be at 8 p.m. Jerusalem time. God bless you. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.
Asher afot me'al hayam.